through them and speak through them to each one of us. Minister to us in this precious season. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Before we start, I have a few things here. I'm Robert the Redeemed. I have some redeemed gifts I'd like to give out. I've got a...
Anything new?
No. The only thing new that I got was that my good friend Scott Poland gave me Friday night. He passed out, did the same thing. He gave me a Pete's Coffee, Warriors brand. I had it this morning. It was really good. As I was fasting for caffeine for like 21 days, and so I broke the fast with the Warriors coffee. So if I'm sort of scattered, you understand why. So I've got one here called Holy Fire by Paul Wilbur. Holy Fire. Come up and get it. It's a good one. Good one. Amen to that. And now here's another one. Ron Canole, Sing Out. Come on up here, David. Hey, there you go. Now this is something that was given to me at a pastor's breakfast some while ago, and I haven't read it. I've read parts of it because I have my own devotionals that I get into. But it's through the Bible devotions from Genesis to Revelation in 365 days. If there's somebody that wants to, maybe hasn't been doing devotionals, but like to get into devotionals, this is a really a good one. So who would like this? Come on up here, Chelsea. There you go, honey. You're welcome. And finally, when I first became a Christian, because I had a bar, I was really into production and promotions. So I believe that you needed T-shirts with the bar name on there or something. So when I became a Christian, I got these. I had these made up. This is like 30 years ago. So I still have some because I was selling them at the Presbyterian Church and hardly anybody bought them. So Marcia says, what is it? This says, Christians, Christians, Christians. I did wash them again, so it's been washed because it was set in a bag for 30 years.
I'll
give you one next week. Hallelujah. Well, this sort of leads into our message today because it's called the fear of disappointment. And my friend Scott over there was disappointed because he didn't get the old T-shirt. But it looks better on a woman than it does on a big guy like you, I think. Because in my bar, I used to sell these shirts. It said Scott's Baybridge Inn, and they were like baseball-type shirts. And so I'd sell them, but when attractive women came in the bar, I always gave it to them. And people said, what are you giving those away? Because I want the men to see where these girls are hanging out at, so that it would come in. Because the men would come in and buy the drinks, right? They would come in, and that's just the way it is. So in the kingdom... we have that fear of disappointment, and in the kingdom, I hate to say it, but in the kingdom, if you're fearing disappointment and you become polarized and you can't step out, that's a sin. Because you're saying that you believe in what you can do and the things that you can't do versus believing in Christ. And in Philippians, which I'm going to talk a few things about, that is that through Christ, all things we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But I'm going to start in Philippians 3:2. And it says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. Those are people who discourage you. Those are the people who say you can't do this or you can't do that. And then as Christians, they were trying to step out in Christ, step out in freedom. And people say, you can't do that. You have to do exactly what the law says. You have to do this. What creates is a kingdom of control and rigid control, not free thinkers, not being able to walk as free in the Spirit. And Paul talks a little bit more about that. For we are of the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Because if you have confidence in the flesh, you're going to have disappointment. Because there's things that you want to do in your own strength and the things that you can do. And enabling to try to do that, you're going to find disappointment after disappointment. But we of the kingdom have a different thing. We're going to encounter disappointments. And we're going to encounter doors that won't open for us, and we think that they should be opened. And when we come to that door and it doesn't open, the natural feeling is to be disappointed. That's part of it. But in Christ Jesus, we realize there's a plan for us. Maybe we're not supposed to go to this door. And I'm going to skip forward because a few things I want to touch on, but I want to turn it over. In Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in verse 19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Now to our God, the Father, be glory forever and ever. And he says before then, indeed, I think in verse 12, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound, everything and all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer. So it comes to a place where even though your needs aren't being met and nothing is happening for you, but somehow you're at peace. You're trusting that God is in control here. You can spend all your time worrying about this and worrying about that. You know, it's what's Obama doing? You know, what's happening here? It's beyond your control, and it can suck out all your energy. But we just have to trust that God is in control, and in the kingdom. In the kingdom, we have the weapons to overcome this. Because you can be disappointed and be disappointed. But in 1 Corinthians 14, I usually don't teach so much on the word, but I think it's really important to set up what the Lord is going to do today. Because my gift's not a teacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm a PE. I'm a coach. And I was a good PE teacher as a coach. Because coaching is different than teaching. Pastor Joseph is a good teacher. Pastor Tom Johnson's a good teacher. No, I am fine. But there's some people have their gifts, and there's the fivefold ministry gifts. Some of us are teachers. Some of us are prophets. Some of us are evangelists. Some of us are counselors, pastors. So forth. But in chapter 14, 1 through 4, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. And he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. To comfort, support, and encourage. I have to say that I thought about that today. My friend Scott Poland, he has this gift. He has a gift of speaking into people's lives and encouraging them. He does that. And sometimes you look at a man like this and you could say, wow, look at this guy. Man, he's just so positive and he's speaking. He doesn't need anything. On the other hand, he needs it all. He needs the same thing that other people need. We all need to encourage each other. We all have to edify each other. We could say, well, this person doesn't need it. Because sometimes if you're an extrovert and you're out talking, you think, oh, this guy can do everything. He's very comfortable, but he has the same needs. We all have the same needs. We all have to edify and encourage, and we can do that through the Word of God. And as we talked about the art of conversation, we discussed this Friday night, is that as you speak into one person's life, it happens. It's the Word of God is a two-edged sword. As we encourage one person, we receive it. As we pray for a person, we receive. And to go back to the covenant with Abraham, between God and Abraham, if you bless those that God blesses, you're blessed. But if you curse them, you're cursed. So it's important that we continue to edify each other. We continue to let the Word of God work in us. And the Word of God encourages us. But it always happens when somebody else says it to you, when another saint speaks it to you. Amen? So it's, I can see right now as I look around the room that as we're speaking about this, that everybody in this room needs it. We all need somebody to encourage us. We need somebody to tell us we're doing a good job. We need somebody to say, hey, no, you can do this. We need somebody to say, just rest. Don't worry about it. Let the Lord's in control. And in the Spirit, we believe this. And this leads me to, I'm going to introduce a good friend of mine and a woman that who walks in the Word and speaks the Word. And she has a testimony about the Word of God and how it's affected her life and how the works affected the life of others. So just welcome Laurie McNamee.
My name is Laurie. I'm really glad to be here this morning with you. I've been praying for you for 2 weeks, ever since Robert invited me to come. My heart is filled with love for you, the love of Jesus for my dear brothers and sisters. And I'm so pleased to be with you today. And Pastor Joseph, when we were worshiping, I got a scripture for you from Psalm 20. And I bless you with the blessing of Psalm 20. Pastor Joseph, may the Lord answer you when you're in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart. Make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious and we'll lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you take notes, but I'm going to just probably throw some scriptures out that you may want to look up later. But right now, let's turn to Genesis chapter 5. And I'm just going to say, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken away, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Okay? So in chapter 5, this is just something I saw earlier this week, and it just sort of hit me. I'm just going to go down through the verses, and you can follow along with me. First chapter 4, or chapter 5, verse 4 says, after Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years, okay? And then skipping down to verse 7, and after he became the father of Enosh, Seth lived 807 years. Verse 10, after he became the father of Kenan, Enosh lived 815 years. Verse 13, Kenan lived 840 years. Verse 16, Mahalalel lived 830 years. Verse 19, Jared lived 800 years. Here we go. Verse 22, and after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. You can live or you can walk with God. And Enoch walked with God, and suddenly the scenery changed. He was just walking with God and talking with God, and next thing he knew, it had just completely changed. And for those of us who know Jesus, that's what death is like. The scenery just changes, and you're just in heaven with Jesus. How wonderful for us. We get him with us every day. And then we go to heaven, we're with him forever, for eternity. So we're the most blessed people. When I first met my husband, Chad, that handsome guy right there, when I first met him, I thought he was the most unusual person I'd ever met, because he talked about talking with Jesus in such a natural way. And I didn't know he was Prince Charming. I had no idea we were going to be married. But wherever he was, in Bible study or church service or whatever, I just wanted to be wherever he was and listen to his stories. Because he would say, I was in the truck the other day and I was talking to Jesus about the job and saying, "How I don't know how I do this." And Jesus showed me that, you know, I should do it this way. And I thought, I mean, I had been raised in church from the nursery. And I had never heard anybody talk about walking with God in that way. And I knew that I wanted that. Whatever it took, I wanted that. So I would just hang around wherever he was, whatever corner of the room he was. I was listening to stories. And then as I got to know him a little bit, I would pepper him with questions. How do you know you're hearing Jesus? How do you know it's not your own mind? And he teaches on... He teaches about hearing Jesus' voice, and that I'm not going to go into that, but I wanted it. So one day, I was driving in the car by myself, and I didn't have any music on. I was driving down the freeway, and I just said out loud, "Jesus, you talk to Chad in the truck all the time. Is there anything you want to say to me?" And he said, "I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you." It was like waves of the ocean rolling over me. And I think probably I didn't expect to hear anything. But if I expected to hear anything, I probably expected to hear that, "Well, you haven't been doing this right and you haven't measured up in this area." I don't think I just was prepared for the love of God that just rolled over me like waves of the ocean. And I just sobbed. I had to pull off the freeway because I was just overcome. I couldn't see. And that began this journey. And eventually, Chad and I got married. And now the three of us, I mean, if there's three of us in our house, me, Chad, and Jesus, and, you know, I'll be in the kitchen cooking and saying, "Now, how should I do this, Jesus? Do I put the potatoes in first?" And Chad will say, "What did you say, honey?" And I'll say, "Oh, that's okay, I was talking to Jesus." And then he's in the living room and he says something about it. And I say, "What did you say, honey?" "Oh, I was just talking to Jesus." And, you know, and it's that wonderful threefold cord that's not easily broken. Amen. Amen. So that's walking with God, talking with him about everything. And the way we get to know him is through his wonderful word. After we'd been married about a year, I began having some real bad problems, and I began falling down, starting to walk straight and turning and walking into a wall. My right hand would shake. I was just having terrible problems, and I couldn't seem to make it stop. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I went to the doctor. He said, "You're overtired. You need to rest more." And I did, and it went away. And then a year later, it came back stronger and more fierce. And I was filled with fear. I was, you know. I was young, and suddenly it was like I couldn't do things. And then they diagnosed me with a disease for which there is no cure. You know, when they pronounce that sentence over you, you have a disease for which there is no cure. And we can give you injections that might help, but it's not going to take it away. There's nothing that can take it away. And I remember I looked at the doctor. This actually was not from faith, I don't suppose, but just... I just said, "Well, you know, Jesus has healed me from some other things, and I wouldn't be surprised if he did something, you know, now." So, and the doctor said, "Well, people with faith, they do better than people who don't have faith, and that's really great." So anyway, so for the next 3 years, I mean, I suffered. I had a lot of pain, and it just seemed like it was getting worse and worse. Chad and I were trying to, you know, We're newly married. It's like, what's going to happen with our lives? When two people get married and they make a commitment, they make a vow to God about how they're going to treat one another, but you don't know what's going to happen. None of us knows, but God knows. And how do you say that during the worst time of your life, it's the most wonderful time of your life, you know? Because it was during that time that I think the Lord really cemented in me His love for me. During those 3 years when I struggled, and I struggled with pain, and it got worse, the last year I was becoming bedridden. And I actually, the last 2 months, I needed a cane to get from the bed to the bathroom. And I was having a lot of pain. And the drugs the doctors gave me to control the nerve pain, it made my mind cloudy. And I couldn't remember things. I wanted to call my mother, and I couldn't remember her telephone number. Things like that. I was trying to remember what year it was. I wasn't exactly sure. And it was just those drugs, you know. And I cried out to the Lord. I remember I said, Jesus, I feel like I'm losing my mind. And this thought popped into my spirit. Begin memorizing Psalm 119, one verse a day. And I thought, Psalm 119, that's the longest psalm in the Bible, I think. You know, and I always have recipe cards. You know, I like to cook. So I got some recipe cards. I felt like it was from Jesus. I felt like it didn't come from inside me. So on a recipe card, I wrote Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. And I set that right next to my bed. And I thought about it during the day. These people who walk according to the law of the Lord are blessed. They're happy. And their way is blameless. Well, you'd be happy if your way is blameless. You don't have anything to be ashamed about if you walk according to God's ways. Okay, so I thought about it and I memorized it. And the next day, I wrote out verse 2. Blessed are they who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. And then I said Psalm 1 and Psalm verse 19, Psalm 119 verse 1 and Psalm 119 verse 2 together. And then day 3, I could hardly wait to see what verse 3 was. And our house was under construction at the time. Chad was completing a handicap ramp to our house, in case I ended up in a wheelchair or whatever. We had a worker there. He used to come in for morning. He was British. He would come in the morning, and he would say, he'd make his cup of tea and have his English muffin, and he'd say, so what's the scripture for the day? And I would tell him what the scripture for the day was. And I had difficulty walking, but, you know, during that time I used to walk back and forth across the living room and just say the verses, you know, and try to remember them. And Jesus said, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your body is filled with, if your eye is good, your body will be filled with light. If your eye is bad, your body will be filled with darkness. Okay, I'd never understood that verse, and our 85-year-old friend explained that to me. He said, if your focus is on Jesus, on the kingdom of God, then your body will be filled with light. If your eye is focused on all the dark things of this world, all the terrible things that are going on, your body will be filled with darkness. So, it was during that time I was sick that I began to focus on the Lord through memorizing His Word. I was also reading, I don't know if you've heard of A.W. Tozer, The Knowledge of the Holy. There's a book about the attributes of God. They're little short chapters, but it's about, you know, God's love, His mercy, His faithfulness, His eternity. And each one of those just expanded my view of Him. And as I focused on God, focused on His kingdom, my pain didn't leave, but my fear left. And pain without fear was different than pain with fear. And my heart just began to change. Nothing seemed so serious anymore. I actually reached a point where I didn't care if I got healed, because I knew that this relationship with Jesus was more precious than anything else, and so it didn't matter. And there was one other thing. Someone gave us a DVD of a young man who had written a song for his daughter. And as he was singing this lullaby over his daughter, God was revealing to him how he felt, you know. And he said, "Hush, little baby, don't you cry. Your daddy's here. It'll be all right. You're not alone." Chad and I watched that before we went to bed, and it was like, wow. I mean, we just sat straight up. You're not alone, you know. And in the middle of the night, I couldn't remember all the words, but in the middle of the night, I woke up, and I felt like I was sitting in Jesus' lap, and He was just singing over me, "You're not alone. You're not alone." When I was praying for you, for 2 weeks, I've been praying for you. Did I tell you what Jesus told me to tell you? Can't remember. He said He wants you to know not to be afraid. He doesn't want you to be afraid. And He wants you to know Him. That's that deep relationship with Him, that deep knowing. So, after about 2 months of just, I don't know, I was just soaking in Jesus' presence, and something was changing. Chad and the worker were laughing because they'd be, you know, hammering away, and they'd hear me in there just singing, "You're not alone, you're not alone," you know, just, or they'd hear me reciting scriptures and everything. Well, I had asked my pastor if it was okay if I prayed for the sick, even though I walked with a cane, and he said, "Absolutely." So I used to pray for people. Well, we had a friend who was very ill, and we had a request to go and pray for her. And Chad said to our friend Rich, "I don't know if Laurie can make it. She's hardly able to get out of bed. But we'll pray." So we prayed, and Jesus said, "You should go." So we went, and we prayed for her. And she, her pain left her. She didn't get out of her wheelchair, but she was having a real crisis, and her pain left, and we were just rejoicing. And we rejoiced all the way home, and the next morning, I got up, and I was sitting on the couch, the place where I just kind of sit and talk to the Lord, and I was kind of waking up, and I heard Him speak to me in my spirit, "How do you want your healing to look?" And I said, "I don't know. The question just took me completely by surprise." And I said, "I don't suppose it has to be dramatic or undramatic. So everyone knows that it's a miracle and that you get all the glory. That's all I care about." And I got up and got dressed for church, which was a real effort usually. Chad woke up, he came out, and I was sitting there ready to go to church. And he said, "You haven't been to church in a few months. Are you sure you're able to go?" I said, "Yeah, I think I want to go. I want to go." I didn't know Jesus meant that day that I would be healed. I thought, you know, maybe years from now or something. And as we went to church, I was standing there worshiping the Lord. I was just worshiping Him for His goodness, for His mercy, for His kindness, for His unlimited love. And as I was praising Him, I felt like all this energy started whirling around in my body. It was more than I couldn't stand up. And my pastor walked by during the worship service and just kind of put his hand on me and said, "More, Lord." And I just started just shaking all over. I thought body parts were going to start flying off, you know. And the only way I know to describe it, just it was like energy, just doing this in my body. And the leg that I had so much trouble with, so much pain, was just shaking uncontrollably. I mean, I couldn't make it happen. I couldn't make it happen now. And it was so amazing. And I fell. I think I fell on the pastor's wife. She ran forward to pray for me, and I just kind of fell backwards. And there were a whole bunch of people praying for me. And I laid on the floor like I... Have you ever been in surgery? And when you come out, you're like, you can hear people in the room, but you just don't want to open your eyes. You're just very relaxed. And Jesus healed me that day. For almost 10 years, there was nothing. I gave my testimony. I always gave Jesus glory. And then just a few months before my 10th anniversary of my healing, I started having difficulty walking. It wasn't the same thing, but it just was perplexing to me. But I'm different now than I was 14 years ago, 10 years ago, because during that time, when I stopped, I got healed about Psalm 119, verse 50, and the earth is filled with your love, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. And once I got healed, I just kept going. And when I got done with Psalm 119, I went on to Psalm 120, and I kept going, and it kept going. And it's the most beautiful poetry in the world, and it's full of who God is. And it just changed my mind. And I was kind of addicted to it. I couldn't stop. And over the next 7 years, I memorized the entire book of Psalms. And every morning I go over 5 of the Psalms, you know, to keep it fresh in my mind. And when I got done with the Psalms, Holy Spirit was whispering, Book of Hebrews, Book of Hebrews. And there, you know, God is just, Jesus is glorified and exalted and lifted up. And then he started whispering Isaiah. And that's what I've been working on now. But through his, you can study the word and not know Jesus, right? Jesus condemned the Pharisees. He said, you study the law, you think that you're going to have eternal life, but the scriptures speak of me. So if we read the word and meditate on it, Psalm 1 says that the blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of the Lord. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's what it is. And on his law, he meditates day and night. And I looked up the word meditate in the dictionary, and it means to ponder while talking to yourself, which is good because I talk to myself a lot. But it just was good to just chew on that word and just eat it and devour it, and it's sweet to your taste, and it just filled up my insides. You know, I'm washing the dishes, and the Word of God is just running in the background all the time. I get up in the middle of the night to get a drink of water, and it's like, oh yeah, what scripture is that? Oh yeah, and it's just kind of running in the background, you know? But it has changed my relationship with God, and I pray the same thing over you. An impartation of the Holy Spirit to walk with him. Jesus said in John 16 about the Holy Spirit, he said in verse 12, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. So Holy Spirit will take that word and He will make it known to you. He will make it alive inside of you. And that's what I pray over all of you and have been praying for 2 weeks. I told you that Jesus told me He wanted you to know not to be afraid. And He wanted you to know Him, deep relationship with Him. So this last 2 weeks, there have been some days I've been struggling with walking, and it's just silly. Just enemy junk. But I kept hearing this scripture in my mind. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I said, I need to look that scripture up. I need to look that scripture up. So a couple of days ago, I looked it up in my concordance. And guess what? It's Isaiah 41:10. And this is how it starts. This is for you guys. It starts, "So, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And that is the scripture that Jesus has for you this morning. Amen. Isn't he funny the way He did that? You know, just putting it in there. And then it came out to be exactly what He told me He wanted you guys to know. I love you, my dear brothers and sisters. Thank you for letting me share with you. Amen.
Thank you. I just have to tell you that one night, I think it was about 3 years ago, Robert and I were out in the Delta. That's where Chad and Marie live. We were camping out there, and they came over to visit. And Marie began to share this with me. And my grandson was with me. And it changed our life. It was a really powerful moment for me. And one of the unique things was that I realized that, and I began to look this up after I was with Laurie that night, that she's talking about speaking scripture out loud. As she memorizes it, she's speaking it out loud. And as she does Psalms each day, she's speaking them into the world around her. And that began to really impact me. And I realized that I began to look up what word meant in Hebrew and Greek in the Bible. And that's what it means. It means speaking it, not reading it or thinking it alone, but saying it. And I really came to realize from that evening that we are called to do that. We are called to speak the world, speak the word into the world. Because otherwise it's not here. And I only have a couple of minutes. I think I'll delay what I was going to share till next time. But I wanted to encourage you all in that, to practice that, take scripture and speak it every day, whatever scripture the Lord puts on your heart. I think Lori is a wonderful model of how the Lord gives her a scripture, and then she goes to see where it is in the Bible. I just love that. But, you know, that's direct communication from the Holy Spirit to her. And that's the way I believe we are called to live with the Lord. We are called into that intimacy, that relationship, where we are hearing from the Holy Spirit and receiving and walking in freedom rather than fear.
Yes, just to sum this up, I think probably one of the things that Laurie shared that really impacted me is that she had her illness and she was walking and living in that, but she had no fear. She had no fear. The Lord had taken that fear as she read the word and she spoke the word. And as she was praying about this church, and that is their ministry is now, I want to sum it up really quickly, but they were prayer ministers at the Vineyard in San Francisco, and then when the Vineyard in Vallejo came, they were the ministers of prayer there. They taught, they were elders, and they've given their testimony, and now they provide a place in where they live in Bethel, and they have a house there, and ministers come around that need just some time to be by themselves, just to receive some prayer, and just to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit and God. And as I was praying, this is what the Lord wants to give us today. So I want you to stand up. As I'm God's coach, that's all I am. I'm God's coach. I'm His man. He speaks to me. He wants me to encourage as He encourages me. So this is a two-edged sword. As we speak this out, this is the Word of God. So just receive this. This is from the book of Isaiah. Oh, man. The Lord took me to Hebrews, too. She told me she got Hebrews. The Lord led me to Hebrews. He led me to Isaiah. I can't remember it all, but I know what's in there. Hallelujah. This is for you, and this is what the Lord says for you. I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. Receive this. You are my people. I love you. You are my people. You are my daughter. You are my son. You are my people. I have a plan for you. You are covered in the shadow of my hand. Close your ears to the lies of the world and receive the truth of my word and speak it out. Speak it over your own life. Speak it over the life of your spouse. Speak it over your children. Speak it over your friends and receive. So shall it be. Amen. 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 So in a time like this, and the Holy Spirit's on everybody, just greet each other or just stand. Do whatever you want to do. You're free to receive. Laurie and Chad and Marsh and I and Larry will be in the house over here. If somebody wants some prayer, I'd say this is a time to come to get it. Amen.